Before you embark on this episode, I have a prepared statement. Dear hotties, baddies, and cuties, it has come to our attention that we have made a silly goose error in this tier 2 recording. Our Screamisode champion, as we all know from listening to episode 2, was Sydney 4. She undoubtedly killed Sydney 2 and moved on to our tier 2 battle. However, whilst recording episode 5, we continually refer to Sydney 2 as the battling fine girl. We could blame the fact that we're just too hot to take numbers seriously, but regardless, we take full responsibility for our blunder. As we would like to respect the results of this recorded tier 2 battle, we ask that you just mentally edit and replace any mention of Sydney 2 with Sydney 4. Alyssa, in particular, as our resident Scream aficionado, would appreciate everyone respecting their privacy during this trying time. Thank you for your patience and understanding. Enjoy the show.
The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
Tier 2 is here, baby!
Tier 2 is here. We're here. You're here. I'm here.
Tier 2. I'm so excited. Season 3.
Two tiers. Two tiers.
Three seasons.
Then three. Here's the problem is that I don't know anything about math. I'm also dyslexic. This was bad. We shouldn't have started with numbers. Yeah. We should have never started with numbers, but it's fine. It's tier 2. We've made it to the second tier in the bracket, baby. This is Final Girl Standing, an iconic podcast where we take final girls from horror movie fame, put them in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be
the final girl standing. Okay, who are you?
It's tier 2. Hi, my name's Alyssa.
Okay, fabulous.
I'm here for tier 2.
Okay, my name is Jesse, and I'm also here for tier 2. We are your co-hosts for this fabulous podcast. If you're just now joining, that's so weird, but that's fine, and we love you. All right.
Yeah, why would you join in tier 2, dog? Like, we did, like, 4 other episodes prior to this that you're going to need information from. So go back.
Turn around and go back.
Throw it in reverse.
I promise you'll have fun. Throw it in reverse.
Back that ass up.
Thank you. I was just going to say, please shake that ass for us. Okay. Okay, so we're putting these girls in a March Madness style bracket. Who are these girls? Who are these final women?
These final women. Who are they?
Okay,
and what do they represent? Tell us, Jesse. What is the essence of a final girl for the people?
The essence. So here's how we define a final girl. A final girl, a certain number of people have to die in the film, and she has to survive the film. She's typically a key player in eliminating the threat of the film, the baddie. She's the one left to tell the tale. So usually coming from her perspective, the story.
Period.
She embodies the spirit of the final girl. And I think it's really important to emphasize for this particular season because
tis the franchise girl season.
Tis the season of franchise ladies.
Yes, 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 yes. And I say that because that's our next sort of rule criteria is that franchise girls are going to have their own season and we're in that season. So congratulations.
Period.
Congratulations to us.
That's right. Congratulations to us.
Congrats to you. Congrats to you for listening. So that being said, we also reserve the right to break these rules at any time. But because this is season 3 and because these women truly embody final girls, also kind of like the genesis of the final girl like trope.
We really do have like quite a rich text of a selection of final girls.
Yes.
I will say that technically multiple of them break rules. But like.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I mean, multiple of them break rules, but it's also like, it's our podcast, so it's fine.
So it's literally fine. So if you are just joining us, let's talk about our tier 1 champions.
Yeah. So as you heard at the top of the podcast, we kept screaming the phrase tier two, tier two, tier two. But what does that mean? Well, you see, we had our first tier in which we fought the iconic final girls, Nancy Thompson from A Nightmare on Elm Street, Sydney Prescott from Scream, Ripley from Alien.
Alien from Alien.
The final girl of Alien is Aliens.
Oh my god, should we do like a monsters bracket? Okay, anyway, we're getting off topic.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, we have to talk about it because I have a secret dream for final boy season next season.
I know.
Okay, anyway, and then also we have Lori from Halloween is our other final girl. And in Which tier Halloween? One. Oh, hold on, I'm getting there.
Okay, roger that.
So in tier one, we fought Sydney from Scream 2 versus Sydney from Scream 4. And the Sydney that is going to make it to tier two today is going to be Sydney Prescott from Scream 2. And then we also have from the Nancy episode, we fought Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street 1 versus Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors Nancy. And the Nancy that won that is going to be Nancy 1. So our first fight is going to be Sydney versus Nancy. Our second fight is going to be Ripley versus Lori. And the Ripley that we fought in the first tier is going to be Ripley from Aliens, aka Alien 2, versus Ripley from Alien 4, a terrible film written by Joss Whedon. And then...
That's the tagline.
And then our final contender to the scene is going to be Lori from Halloween. And we fought Lori from Halloween H2O Just Add Water in the first episode with her and versus Lori from Halloween 2018. And the Lori that won is, in fact, Lori from H2O. And did I mention that the alien lady the Ripley that won was Ripley 4. Okay.
Yes. Great. Totally. And we'll recap that at the top of each fight so y'all don't have to remember every single detail there.
It's a little confusing this season because they're fighting each other in the first tier. And so it's getting a little nonsensical with the way we're...
as we described it in a previous episode, they fight the inner demons first, then they fight the outer demons, right?
Correct.
So we did inner demon. We are now moving on to outer demon. It's also important to note that tier two works a little differently because the fights are a little bit more exciting. They've got a little bit more of like a random element to them.
And also this episode is just fighting. Like we're not gonna fuck around. We're just gonna be fighting in these streets. Okay.
We've looked to the stars. We know the placements of their astrological signs. We know we know their shit. We know their lore. We need to get into beating the fuck out of each other. So
correct.
So the way that we're going to do this is we're going to start by picking a location and a spicy element from a bag, literally, at random.
Mine's a bowl.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Mine's a Ziploc bag. Wow. The vibes we bring.
The two genders, bag and bowl.
I'm so a bag. Okay. So we'll pick a location, we'll pick a spicy element, and then we'll make these bitches fight. So my question to you, Alyssa, because this was your idea, what is a spicy element? Like, we know what a location is. What's a spicy
element? Yeah. Great question, Jay. So obviously when we were like thinking about how to form the tier two sort of like fights, we were like, okay, like we'll like find a location for them to fight in. But like, we're like, we can't just like select a location. We got to add like an element of chaos, right? I am a Gemini, right? And so like for me, chaos is very important to add into my daily life. I think that, you know, everyone needs a little bit of chaos in their life. And so to add a chaotic element into these fights, we have come up with what we entitled spicy elements. Now, a spicy element is essentially like a thing that is happening that sort of adds a little bit of spice, a little bit of texture, a little bit of flavor to the fight. So, for example, last season and the season before, a couple of the spicy elements that we had, I think I remember in our final episode from season one where Prince was doing it, it was like everyone had clown shoes like on.
It was, and then also like piano floor.
But also, wasn't there clown shoes? I feel like at one episode. Oh, it was season two. It was season two in the finale. People had clown shoes. But like, you know, that's the kind of vibe, right?
Also like fog,
raining blood. Right?
Yeah.
Everything is slippery. Remember that was season
one?
Oh,
that
was
really funny. I loved that fight. Okay, fantastic.
So that's what a spicy element is. And so like Jay said, what we're going to do is we are going to pull one location, one spicy element for each fight. And that will sort of set the scene for the fight betwixt the two Goyles.
Betwixt, yes. The whole time that they were describing spicy element, it was like shimmying. You know what I mean? Because it's like a little ooh.
Shimmy.
It's like a little ooh. Yeah, okay. So has the time come for us to start fight number one?
I think it is. I think it's time to intro our two contenders to the scene and kind of set the scene for this frickety fight, dog.
Let's get into the frickety fight. So our two girlies for fight number one are Nancy 1 v. Sydney 2. So
correct.
Quick recap, re-meet of these women.
Yeah. Yeah, let's reintroduce.
I'll do Nancy really quick. So basically, Nancy, she's the young little thing. I said women, but like honestly, she's still bebe.
Yeah, she's like a teenager in this flick.
She's a teenager. She's loyal to her friends. She mm-hmm. has some sleep issues, understandably.
Yeah, yeah,
so. And
she's got an alcoholic mom.
Zero help from any adults in her life, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The nightmare on Elm Street is alcoholism.
Correct. The real nightmare on Elm Street is alcoholism. So because of that, she's had to be really self-sufficient. And thus, she makes plans. She uses like the knowledge she has, right, to come up mm-hmm. with actionable plans to try to defeat Freddy. So we respect her. And she won her
I think we gave her like a 10 out of 10 Macaulay Culkins for like booby trap setting, yeah?
Very much so. Yes, absolutely.
So this is a hoe with booby traps.
And she's a Cancer.
Yeah, she's a Cancer and she's a planner. Okay, great. Excellent. Now it's time to introduce my girl, all right? And it feels only natural and correct that I would be introducing Sydney Prescott, a.k.a.
Yes.
Sydney from Scream.
Yes,
Scream
yes.
being the iconic franchise that is the thing that fuels me on a day-to-day basis. However, I would like to just quickly throw in some shade and tea to Scream 7 because I know when we recorded the Scream episode, it hadn't dropped yet. And it has now dropped. And I did not see it. And I refuse to see it. And I will not be seeing it.
I thought you were definitely about to say, like, I've seen it and I have thoughts.
No.
Oh, okay.
I have not seen it. I refuse to see it. I do know exactly what happens because our podfather, Prince, like, told me the whole thing beat for beat.
Bless him.
And it is garbage. It is trash. It is a mockery upon the franchise that these hoes worked so hard to create. Again, the four-hour dissertation on Zoom, like, slide into the DMs because I could talk about it forever. But
we'll get it all short. Yeah. We'll get
when we're Patreon, talking about Sydney, but. When we're talking about Sydney, we're talking about her from movies one through six, and we're just gonna pretend that Scream 7 never happened because that's what I'm gonna do. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Anyway, Sydney motherfucking Prescott. She is technically a teenager in one, but in this we're doing Sydney 2, so she's from Scream 2, so she's kind of like 19, 20, right? She's in college. She is a theater major, all right? Mm-hmm. She's a dramatic ass hoe, and she's also a hoe who kind of like, I don't know, like has nothing to lose at this point, you know? And additionally, though, she's kind of lost everyone that she loves. And I think that because of that, she has like decision fatigue trauma. You know what I mean?
She's still like losing everyone she loves in this movie. It's like so goddamn sad. Her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who we were
The thing that I talk about at the end of Scream 2 that I always think is so sad is like I think the ending of Scream 2 is the saddest in the franchise because like everything goes down and she just like walks away alone. And it's like, damn. And then it really sets up the situation for Scream 3, but we won't talk about it anyway.
Sure.
Long story short. Another thing that I just want to add in here real quick because it's my podcast is that Sydney and Nancy are like sort of the mold and the model of each other because Scream and Nightmare on Elm Street are both Wes Craven creations. Nightmare on Elm Street obviously coming before Scream, and Nightmare on Elm Street was one of those like original 80s slashers that really like set the mold of this like newer idea of a final girl. And Nancy was kind of one of those first final girls that we got from that era who was like smart and like wasn't making dumb decisions and like wasn't like, you know, doing dumbass girl dumb shit, you know what I mean? And it's funny because Sydney in Scream is basically a one-for-one parallel of that archetype that, you know, Wes Craven is kind of following through in his films. And so I think it's only right and only beautiful and only serendipitous that these two get together in the ring and beat each other to death.
Yes. Nancy walked so that Sydney could run, and like that they're from the same mind. I feel like Wes Craven was like created Scream and was like, let me play in the space now that I've created the space. You know what I'm saying?
Period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So excellent. So much respect. So let's pick the location and get the spicy element and do this goddamn thing. I will be picking the location as a bad girl. Hang on.
As a bad girl.
Such a bag. Okay. Okay, I'm rustling around in the bag.
Rustling the papers.
Okay. What's this one?
Was it gonna be?
The beach.
The beach. Okay.
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 For transparency, not that y'all need to know this, but whatever, it's our podcast. This is a previous, previously on. No, okay. This is a previous location that we had written down in previous seasons. I had found this bag. Obviously, it has been 3 years since we fucking have recorded anything. So this is potentially 3 to 4 years old.
A 3 to 4 year old location.
As a location. Are we ready? Consent to move forward with the beach?
Consent to move forward. Do we want to choose a particular beach?
Tell me, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking like, well, as a California hoe, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I'm picking from like the beaches in my mind. I'm thinking like a you know, Davenport beaches. They're like, they're kind of like cliffy and rocky and like a little bit like crazy. They're not like swimmable. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know that kind, but I know what you're talking about. I've never been to Davenport. Is that a place?
Davenport. Yeah, Davenport. It's like north of Santa Cruz. It's very beautiful. It's where I used to go all the time as a teenager.
Okay.
Where Swanton Berry Farms is. So clock it if you're a Bay Area local.
So I have been there because I've been there with you.
Have you been to Swanton Berry with me?
Yeah, to get strawberries and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We've been together. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you've been there. So that kind of vibe. Those like those cliffy beaches that are beautiful, but like also like kind of treacherous.
Yep. I love it. Okay. Sick.
Great. Excellent. Okay, and now is it time for a spicy element?
Yes, for the spicy element.
As a bowl hoe, you can hear the rustling of bowl papers. Okay. Okay, I select this one. And it is. Oh, I ripped it.
Oh my god, it's so big.
It's hot dog fingers, baby.
Oh my god, it's hot dog fingers.
Everybody got hot dog fingers. A la everything everywhere all at once.
Yes, absolutely. Wait, what? This is so goofy. You know what's so funny?
Huh?
I know this is not this fight, but Jamie Lee Curtis had hot dog fingers.
I know.
Oh my god, she doesn't even get to have hot dog fingers again. That's
okay. She doesn't even get to have hot dog fingers. It's fine. It's okay.
She's had them once. She doesn't need them again.
She doesn't need them again. Okay. So that means the location is Sidney Prescott, Nancy Thompson pull up to the Davenport Beach across from Swanton Berry Farm, and they both pull up and they both have fucking sausage fingers.
I'm like already laughing because this is going to be so insane. Okay, perfect.
How does this fight even go down? Like, how does this get incepted? What goes down here? You know?
They both are right here. I got it. Okay. They both arrive at the beach, but at slightly separate areas of the beach.
Okay.
And because there's all these cliffs and stuff like that, you know how when you're like walking down the beach, you can't necessarily see all the way down because there's like corners of cliffs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrive on opposite ends of like a cliffed area, walking on the sand. They go down, walk on the sand, and come around the corner and like bump into each other. I think there should be like accidental, almost immediate contact because they're like not paying attention. They're looking out at the ocean and then they both come around the corner and collide.
And they collide. Okay. And
they both have hot dog fingers.
And okay, yeah. My question about the hot dog fingers is like when they collide, are they conscious of the fact that they like have hot dog fingers, or like did they acquire hot dog fingers in the like universe of like this fight? Like how, like. You know what I mean? Like, what is the continuity of the hot dog fingers? Like, are they like, you know?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think that in the spirit of like previous episodes, it didn't come up. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were born Hot Dog Sidney and Hot Dog Nancy. You know what
I'm saying? Okay, so they were born Sidney, Hot Dog Sidney and Hot Dog. So, but does that mean that they know how to use their hot dog fingers? I have many questions.
I'm going to say yeah. I mean, do you?
Okay.
Do you know how to use the hot dog fingers?
Here's the thing is that if I like were to like day one acquire hot dog fingers, right? Like then like I'd figure it out, right? But like if I showed up to this beach and all of a sudden I had hot dog fingers, that's a much more bumbling scenario, you know?
I think it's still going to be bumbling a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So they collide with each other, right? They turn around. They see each other. They see the hot dog fingers. Maybe for a second they're like, oh my God. I've never met anyone else with hot dog fingers.
Aw.
And then they almost kiss, but then they don't.
Right. Because they always almost kiss. And then, but then I think there's like a freak out moment of like, you know, where they're just like, they bump into each other. They kind of look at each other's hands, look at each other.
Okay, wait. And then I have an idea.
Yeah.
And then from the sea, the spirit of Wes Craven, like, emerges from the ocean, because rip in peace to Horror Papa. He comes from the ocean and he goes, ladies, there can only be one true final girl to rule them all.
A hot dog and final this, girl.
A hot dog fingered final girl from the creation of Wes Craven. And he says, I leave you two on this beach, but only one of you may exit this beach to become the ultimate final girl. And then he like disappears into the fog.
Whoa. Okay. I love. I'm obsessed.
So that's kind of like what incepts the like the motivation to start beating each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I feel like based on the nature of these two girlies, I feel like person to strike first would be Sydney, not Nancy. And absolutely. I also think there's something about like some of the protective elements of who Sydney is that she wouldn't go fingers first.
Yes.
That she would maybe like throw a fucking bow first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that's like the initial first blow. Like,
okay.
I think she's also going to try to maybe get into like get Nancy into the water potentially. Like, okay. So like if she's throwing a boat, it's like in the direction of the beach to try to get her on her back potentially.
Okay. I think so. Great. This is what happens. Sydney throws a bow, right? I think Nancy falls to the ground, right? I think that what Nancy does is she like kind of like stumbles around a little bit because Sydney's trying to get her onto the ground and do some like floor to floor grappling. But Nancy, being sort of like a booby trapper, a planner, she's like, let's throw some elements here. And so with her hot dog fingers, she kind of brushes some sand up towards Sydney's eyes.
Yeah.
And so Sydney's like, ah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then Nancy like stumbles away like to try to find like either the higher ground or like a place to hide and plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe she finds like a, maybe she like climbs up a cliff or maybe she like finds a cave. You know what I mean?
Totally. I think what's happening is she's probably going to be running to try to get to the cliffside potentially to try to get up. And y'all know like some of those paths to get down to the actual beach can be a little treacherous. They're not really like solid paths, you know, you're
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
Like, but as she's like running, it's sand. I don't know if you've ever tried to run in sand, but
it's fucking difficult.
That shit is difficult. So I think there's going to be like some, as she's running, like Sydney is like gonna try to like get that sand out of her eyes and get close to her as close as she can.
Okay. So I think that, you know, Nancy is fumbling and a bumbling through the sand. My question for you is, who has better running form in the sand, Nancy or Sydney?
I would probably think Sydney.
Okay.
Nancy isn't giving, I've had experience at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Well, also, yeah, because Sydney is from California.
Sydney's from California and Nancy's mom is an alcoholic. She's not taking her to the beach.
For sure. And also, Nancy lives like in the Midwest, I think.
Right. Yeah. Or like, yeah, yeah. I can't remember where we said, like New Hampshire or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah. That's certainly not the Midwest. But you know what? Hey, it's okay.
Or like Connecticut. It's giving Connecticut. Okay.
It's giving Connecticut ass vibes. Okay. So I think then what happens is that because Sydney is the better runner in the sand, I think she catches up to Nancy pretty quickly, right? So I think Nancy is like twerking it on to the top of the beach, trying to find like a cave or something to climb, right? And I think that what happens is that Sydney like tackles her to the ground. Okay. Like she's like running, and she goes,
yeah,
tackles her to the ground.
Love
right?
it.
And then I think from here, like what happens is like, obviously we're in the sand, right? We're in the sand and we've got sausage fingers, right?
Yeah.
So like the fighting is going to get messy and dirty, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, because we have sausage fingers, we can't necessarily like land full on blows, right? So like, what does the ground fighting look like?
Okay. Here's what I think happens next. When Sydney gets, so at this point, Sydney's on top of Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Couple of things here. When I'm imagining her like straddling her, okay,
yeah, as we all are,
as we all are imagining, but because it's sand, it's pretty easy for somebody like Nancy to wiggle free. It's not like solid ground underneath, so she can probably start to kind of like scooch her butt to try to dig her way out. I think at the same time, she's reaching to her side to try to find a rock within grabbing distance, very difficult to do with sausage fingers or hot dog fingers.
So she's
trying to grab a rock, but it's kind of all fumbling around near her. I think on top of her, Sydney is like, give it, like, imagine getting smacked with hot dog fingers. I think she's fucking smacking her because I think that's more effective than a punch because you can't curl your fingers all the way under.
So yeah, I think so she's kind of like,
yeah. I think she's fucking,
you know what I mean,
slapping Nancy. And it's also getting like caught in her hair a little bit because Nancy's trying to look to the side to try to reach for the
It's messy. It's messy.
Messy.
Okay. So I think, okay, where I want this fight to escalate to is I think I need this fight to escalate to, like, the top of a cliff or something.
Oh, really? You know I want them to get in the water, but I hear you.
In the water? Like, no, okay, yeah.
Both can be true.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're, okay, if we are in the sand still, right? So I think that maybe you're right. It would make more sense for them to get in the water. So who has the upper hand now? Because Sydney's beating the shit out of her with her sausage fingers. And does Nancy find something to hit her with?
I think Nancy's going to either grab something to hit her with or wiggle free. And get okay. And she's so close to the rock that it won't take, like, it won't be as hard for her to run at this point. Like, if she doesn't need to.
So I think then what happens is that Nancy wiggles free.
Okay.
Once Nancy wiggles free, I think she heads for, because, okay, here are my two thoughts, schools of thought, right? If I was Nancy, I would try to head for the higher ground as, like, a booby trap setting situation, right?
Yeah.
I think that Sydney, like, from sheer force and brute strength, is stronger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
So I think Sydney would want to get her on the ground, right? I think Nancy wants to get her, like, in a situation where she can booby trap her, right? Yeah. So I think what happens is Nancy gets up and Nancy is headed for higher ground, right? Sydney kind of dusts herself off and is trying to follow her. But I think Nancy is, like, because you said we turned around the corner on the cliff, I think she's kind of, like, zigging and zagging throughout, like, sort of the cornucopia of, like, cliffs and maze-like paths, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To try to throw her off a little bit. I think what happens is Nancy is kind of able to, like, wiggle her way up to, like, the edge of a cliff, right? Because I think you know where this is going, right?
I'm so excited. I already have ideas. I'm so nervous.
So I think that Nancy sort of finds her way up to the top of a cliff. What do you think is happening with Sydney?
So I think Sydney is, like, mm-hmm. barreling towards Nancy.
Okay.
Like, I think she, like, got a little, what's the word? Kerfuffled, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
From Nancy wiggling free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't quite grab onto her with her hot dog fingers. And then mm-hmm, once mm-hmm. Nancy was sort of more on the rocks than Sydney was. So, like, yes. Nancy already has, like, a lot of headway, right? And mm-hmm. Sydney was trying to get up out of the sand with her hot dog fingers, which is, like, just going to be difficult to stand, right? So it took her a freaking second to get up, get to the rocks. And then at that point, she's like, fuck, I'm going to lose this girl and I got to kill her. Because mm-hmm. Wes Craven told me to. So she, I think, mm-hmm. is, like, barreling at a speed that is going to be mm-hmm. difficult to stop.
Okay. I think you know what I know.
Tell me.
I think what happens then is that I think that, like, okay, the booby trap is set, I think, in the sense that, like, Nancy is, like, kind of, like, trying to throw her off a little bit. And so she, like, is trying to climb higher and higher up the cliff. I think maybe what she does a couple of times is, like swats down with her foot, like, some rocks to kind of, like, throw Sydney off. Because, like you said, she's going fast, right? And she's kind of, like, you know, wobbling off, right? And so I think that she does this a couple of times. Sydney loses her balance. Sydney has some, like, close calls up the cliff, right?
Yeah.
But then I think ultimately both of them make it to the top of the cliff, right? And at this point, I think that there's one of two ways that this ends, right? One of them goes into the drink, right? One of them topples off the cliff and into the ocean and is taken by the spirit of Wes Craven. But which one?
Okay, you ready to hear what I think?
Yes, I'm ready.
I think that we're in an mm-hmm. area where, okay, I think Sydney is still barreling towards Nancy. Nancy thinks she has set a fabulous trap, but because mm-hmm. Sydney is so much stronger, mm-hmm. when she runs, she throws a shoulder and does football style tackling mm-hmm. off the cliff with Nancy.
they both plunge into the.
They are both falling.
Uh-huh.
Nancy, and as they fall, they're kicking at each other. Sydney mm-hmm. kicks her away from her. They fall into the water. Sydney lands safely. Nancy hits a rock because she gets kicked, like, closer to the cliff.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. And I think then what happens is that the ghost of Wes Craven, like, emerges from the sea and turns to Sydney and goes, congratulations, my child. You are the final form of the final, final girl. And with Wes Craven's blessing, she moves on to tier three.
Oh my God. She ascends into the tier three heavens.
She ascends into tier three heavens. Okay. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing is that it sounded like Nancy was headed towards winning. And here's the thing is that... I was going to have a real problem with it. I was going to have a real issue with it if we're being for real.
You were like, okay, and then what? Like angrily.
Okay, and then what? Because, okay, here's the thing is that I think if we're being real honest about it, like at the end of the day, Sydney 2 is a more evolved version of Nancy 1. You know what I mean? I think that. And I think that what happens is that when Nancy grew up, she got softer. And when Sydney grew up, she got harder. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what we're twerking with. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day, you got to get hard.
At the end of the day, it's important to get hard. Let's get hard together.
The end. Yeah. Okay, great. End.
Okay. Okay, Sydney 2. We have a Sydney 2 moving on to the final bracket. Wait, my phone fell. To the final bracket.
Okay. We have our
now
first
the next fight.
Contestant. For the finale. So exciting. But that's not all. We have to get on to fight number two.
Indeed. Indubitably.
Betwixt, if you will, Ripley 4 and Lori H2O. So let's remeet these.
H2O.
Let's remeet these queens. And then let's
reintroduce
fight.
Ourselves. Let's reintroduce them. Okay.
I'm doing Ripley
and you're doing Lori? Okay. Yeah. Okay, well then let's start with our girl Ripley, aka Sigourney Weaver, aka hashtag horny for Sigourney. TM. But we've got Ripley 4, and this is kind of our most like hotly contested like person going into this fight. Me and Jesse almost broke up our friendship over the addition of Ripley 4 into the bracket at all. And then like obviously she won. But okay, so here's the tea about Ripley 4. Ripley 4 is canonically like a hybrid alien. Like thing.
She's like not really a person. Sorry, Ripley.
She's not really a person. She's like she's in the alien universe. She's what they call a synth, like a synthetic human. But she's also interspliced. No. She's not a synthetic human. She's a clone. Sorry, going back. Let me go back. She is a clone of the original Ripley, mixed in with some like DNA from an alien. So she's like got DNA spliced in her clone body. You know what I mean? So she's kind of part Ripley, part alien. 100% horny and sexy and plays good basketball, apparently.
Honestly, she is like a very horny person in that.
Yeah.
In this.
She's
film.
horny and formidable. I do want to recap the astrology because I did write it down.
Because
last time when we were talking about the last two girls, we had Sydney, who's a Pisces that I don't think we collectively don't agree is a Pisces. But then Nancy is a Capricorn, which I think we collectively agreed.
Wait, I thought Nancy was a Cancer, I thought.
Oh, sorry, Cancer. I'm so sorry. Sigourney Weaver, a.k.a. Alien, a.k.a. Ripley, is a Capricorn.
Is a Capricorn.
And then we decided that our other girl, Lori, is a Scorpio. But anyway.
I'll talk about her. Yeah. Happily. Okay, so Lori, H2O... which, as we know, stands for Halloween 20, not H2O just add water.
Just add water.
So Lori is boy mom, trauma ridden.
Horny as well.
Horny as well. Fucks the guidance counselor at school, which, okay, calm down, Lori. And while I think we said that the 2018 version of Lori is like a Taurus, Lori H2O is a different Lori, which I know is confusing, but this is horror, so this is the way we do things.
And
we've defined her as a Scorpio, which because she's like horny and then divulging that she's like witness protection.
She is messy as fuck, and I honestly love her.
She's just like slugging down white wine, making messy decisions.
She's also like incredibly like nimble and like smart. You know what I mean? I think honestly to be real with you, these two women are kind of like in my head sort of like similarly on the same playing field as Sydney and Nancy were.
Yeah.
Because like Sydney and Nancy were both like teen to like early adulthood like women who are like, you know, dealing with their trauma, who like both have a ancient connection to Wes Craven, you know what I mean? But Ripley and Lori are kind of, they've got this same like trauma divorcee who's horny energy to them.
Yes, you know what I mean.
And so I feel like these are also kind of an evenly paired situation as we go into this fight.
This fight might just end with them making out, which I would be fine with.
If I'm going to be real honest with you, the second we started talking about this, I'm like, honestly, I would prefer if they just had lesbian sex the entire fight. But I'm afraid maybe that this podcast is, can't be just lesbian sex.
Yeah. To my chagrin. For that, you just need to sign up for Alyssa's Substack for their erotica.
Yeah, yeah. For my audio erotica that I'm making, it's called Cherry Flavored Erotica. Go follow me on Substack if you want horny stories. Anyway.
There you go. We worked the plug in.
Plug it.
So that being said, let's find out where they're going to have lesbian sex. We're going to look location Great. First.
Excellent.
I mean, let's fight out. I mean, fight.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, fight.
Five, I mean, fight. Fight. I mean, fight, 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 fight. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is it? What is it? Oh, the Woods of Forks. Thank you. That was actually super helpful. It is not a wooded area that also has a lot of forks in it. It is
Forks, Washington.
Forks, Washington.
A la y'all. Twilight.
A la Twilight. That sounds like a la toilette. Like a fucking...
A la toilette.
Which is like...
And there's a little... happening in the background.
The whole time.
Literally the whole time.
And so the lion fell in love with the lad.
And so the lion... And that's it. And then they like have sex in the meadow.
In the meadow. Dude, wait. Okay, does wait, now Ripley I'm wrestling sparkle, my... do you think? Okay.
Absolutely. I'm wrestling my...
Papers. Ripley's Edward.
Yeah, Ripley's Edward for sure. And also, like, in that dynamic, if we're just gonna get into the lesbian sex of it all, in that dynamic, like, in my opinion, I refer to her as Sigourney Weaver.
That's fine. That's fine.
Ripley is a top, like, canonically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, I think Lori has a lot of switch energy, so I don't think Lori bottoms strictly. I think that, like,
no, for
between
sure.
the two of them, they're having very switchy sex.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Let me pull a spicy element. It's too bad that one of the spicy elements isn't having sex. Although one of the spicy elements is completely naked. Okay. It might not be that one, though. I know. Okay. Here we go. Please. It's not, but it is gay.
Is it the one where you're all wet?
No, it's rainbow blood.
Oh, this is a good one.
So, okay. To explain this, basically every time someone gets cut, hurt, injured, they bleed rainbow blood. Also, it's June while we're recording this, so Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
And I do like that in the sense that, like, it takes place in Forks because it's like the glittery body, but also like the blood is rainbows.
We can also say we can say that the blood's glittery too. Okay.
Okay, great. It's glittery rainbow blood. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
So we have
this is gonna Forks, be so beautiful.
The Woods of Forks, Washington. Rainbow glitter blood.
Yeah.
We've got Lori. We've got Ripley.
Yeah.
What's the inception here? How does this come about? I think that perhaps perhaps.
No, I'm just getting excited. I'm sorry. Keep going. Okay.
If you have something, I have something, but I let me know what you think. Okay. So you know how at the end of the fourth movie, they like crash land on Earth?
What?
Ripley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, the fourth Twilight movie?
No. No, the fourth Alien movie. Yeah. They like crash land on Earth, right? What if like the place where they crash landed was like Forks, Washington?
Okay, love it.
And so like, Alien. I keep calling her names that she just certainly isn't. It's
simply not.
And I think what happens is that like when like they crash land on Earth and when they crash land in Forks, Washington, I think like Ripley kind of like stumbles out and is like trying to like kind of like tries to become one with the woods of Forks, Washington, a la like a lone vampire situation because like she's weird and like alien hybrid person. You know what I mean? And then I think that Lori like is trying to like find another place to like seclude herself to, right? So she like moves to Forks, Washington, and that's how we get both these bitches in the ring, you know?
I love that. I think Lori is on like a hike to, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like she's hiking through the woods to try to find herself, you know, try to like not, you know, try to resist drinking. I don't know.
Yeah. Try to avoid the alcoholism.
Yeah, exactly. The alcoholism really is the villain of all of these things.
The Nightmare on Elm Street is alcoholism.
You're
the
right.
Real Nightmare on Elm Street is alcoholism.
So she's on a hike. I think that Ripley is like sees her from in a tree.
Yeah. She's like being feral in a tree somewhere and correct. Like spots her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I think she's gonna try to do something creepy, which is slowly climb down
mm-hmm.
and get like and kind of like surprise her. Do you know what I mean? Like, slowly come down and then kind of, like, be, like, step out from behind a tree and be like, boo, bitch, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I think that we all know how this naturally sort of starts, right? Is that, like, Ripley kind of, like, pops out and is, like, surprise, right? And then, you know, Lori kind of stops in her tracks and is like, whoa. And, like, what is very obvious here is the sexual tension, right, between these two.
The air is, like, thick.
The air is thick with sexual tension, right? They're kind of looking at each other, like, being like, okay, so are we going to fuck in the woods? You know what I mean? Right? I think that what happens is that, like, that's how it – I think genuinely that what happens is that's how it starts. Is it becomes lovers to enemies. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh,
you know what God. I mean? Like, idea. I think what happens – okay, yeah, what do you think?
No, tell me. You say your thing first.
My thought was, like, the sexual tension builds, right? And then they just, like, kind of start going at it, like, thoroughly, right? Yeah. I think they just kind of start, like, you know, they're all over each other. They're dry humping. They're, like, making out, like, right?
Against a tree or something.
Yeah, right? And then I think what happens is that, like, because both of the, okay, because Ripley, as she is now, is kind of just, like, a mess of, like, a person, and then also Lori is also kind of, like, a mess of a person. I think that, like, they're easily triggered individuals, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, like, the horniness then leads into, like, kind of like a, like, we're, like, fighting in a sexual way, and then it becomes like, oh, but, like, I like could actually take you down. You know what I mean? Like, the horniness escalates to, like, physical violence. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think there's, like, something to it where, like, while they're making out, what happens is that Lori has a really good, like, sense of danger. And I think she got caught up in the moment a little bit because that's, like, her stuff.
Yeah.
But I think she then, like, kind of has a moment where she's like, oh, this is, like, scary. Maybe it's because, like, Ripley, like, bit her a little bit or something like that.
Yeah. Like, Ripley does something alien and feral.
Yeah. Something that's not of this world where, like, Lori's like, oh, fuck, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
So I think she, like, they're kissing, and I think, like, Lori, like, opens her eyes while they're kissing and is kind of, like, realizes, like, this is not right. But then I think that the spider senses of Ripley, like, sees that she, like, you know, like, immediately catches on to what's happening. And I think she grabs Lori. What I want to do is insane, but it's fine.
Well, it's your podcast, babe.
Okay. I want her to, like, throw Lori onto her back, and I want her to
do, like, a spider monkey.
Hang on tight, spider monkey, and then I want her to just start, like, rushing up the tree with Lori on her back.
Okay. So she rushes up the tree with Lori on her back.
Yeah.
Like, what happens?
I think that Lori is trying to get off of her back, like,
okay,
as low to the ground as possible, because she doesn't want to get up so high that she would definitely die, right?
Yeah.
I think she is trying to, like, find nearby branches and stuff to, like, grab onto and get the fuck off. Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. So, okay, in my opinion, this fight is going to come down to a couple things, okay? Number one, physically, Ripley is low-key kind of an alien, so, like, she will physically outmatch Lori, right?
Yes.
However, I think that Lori is a lot smarter than alien Ripley, because I think that the problem with Ripley is that alien Ripley is that she's kind of dumb a little bit.
Or you think so?
Like, not dumb, but, like, there's something about her that, like, feels like, you know, that kind of, like, that, like, cocky, dumb energy you have when you're physically strong, that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's, like, aloof and self-interested. Basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. Right. And so I think what it's going to come down to is, can Lori outsmart Ripley? And the thing that I am having trouble with is, how in this environment does that happen? Right.
Yeah.
So we have Ripley running up the tree. Right. She's got Lori on her back. Lori's trying to get off of her back. Right. In this scenario, if Lori doesn't get off her back soon enough and she drops to that ground, she's breaking something. Right.
Yeah.
So do we think that she gets up high enough to break something, or do we think that she falls and is, like, okay-ish enough to move on to the next thing?
I think this is a good question.
You know?
Yeah. This is a good question. But this was my whole problem with Alien in general, is that, like, she's not that beatable. So we're going to have to get creative. So basically, okay, here's what I think happens. So I think that Lori does, like, find a way. Like, ultimately in Twilight.
yeah.
Bella, the text.
Yeah. If we return to the original source material.
Yeah, thank you. Bella's holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
Lori, I do not think, is doing that. Lori is, I don't have to hold on to this bitch. I can jump, grab onto a branch that's not super far from the ground and either try to hoist myself up or drop and run.
Okay. I think she has to drop and run. I think she drops and runs. And I think that Lori is not a dumbass bitch who would just walk into the woods unprepared. So I think that she has like a pack with her. And I think key to this pack is that she has an axe. Because that was the weapon that she wielded at the end of the film. And I feel like that's canon for her. Maybe she just took the axe with her on her
Fantastic.
Way.
Fantastic. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that she hits the ground. She's trying to find her axe or her pack that has the axe in it. I think that Ripley is like in the trees now, right? And I think that Ripley starts kind of like trying to jump from tree to tree, right? To kind of like outrun her, right? You can't outrun me. You know what I mean? Sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
And so I think that, you know, Ripley is like trying to like, Ripley's trying to do the like, I'm an intimidating otherworldly creature thing, right? And I think that Lori, it's going to come down to can Lori outsmart her? And so I think, you know, in this situation, grabbing an axe is one thing to defend yourself, right? But I think she's got to be smarter than that. So I think that because Ripley is bouncing from tree to tree, what Lori does is that she grabs her pack, she grabs her axe, she holds it so that way she's kind of wielding it. But then what she does is she's going to try to sort of like outsmart the alienness of Ripley, because here's the thing about Ripley, right, is that Ripley is like fully like she's a clone of a person, but like she's got like super strength and like other sort of you know things. But I want to introduce an element to the alien thing that is like kind of a handicap, so maybe this is like a foul play situation, but you let me know.
Okay,
but I think that because she's like an alien or whatever, like maybe one of the things that like is like a low key handicap for her is that she's more susceptible to not being able to detect motion, right? Like once she detects motion, like that is how she's able to like kind of clock things, right? But I think that like if Lori stays super still, then maybe it's harder for her to like sort of clock her and detect her.
Okay,
what are our thoughts?
Like a T-Rex.
What are our thoughts on this introduction? Yeah, like a T-Rex.
Okay,
I think there is evidence for this low key in the Alien franchise, but also, I don't know.
Okay. What I think is like, I think that if she is jumping from tree to tree and Lori is like running.
Yeah.
I think she will get to a point where she stops to get her axe out, like you're saying, and get her pack.
Yeah.
And I think that like it to outsmart the alien, I'm fine with the motion thing. I think the way that it would have to be done is like, okay, she finds like a clearing where the sun is casting down.
Where the sun
and the purple flowers. And I will also say that when she like was falling from the tree, she's got some like scratches. She's got a little rainbow blood going
on. So she's got a rainbow blood.
So she's got her axe, like you said. She's got her pack, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then I think that in order to get to Ripley, or to get Ripley on the ground, I should say, because there's no reason for Ripley to get down, really. Is maybe she takes her pack, like you said, and like tosses it into the center of the thing, into the clearing, so that Ripley like is like, that's motion, that's my thing, without quickly realizing like, oh shit, that's her. So she just was waiting for a moment, like she's like holding very still, and then tosses the pack.
And then Ripley pounces on the pack.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I think what happens, Ripley pounces on the pack. I think Lori takes the immediate next step, which is she axes her, right? I think she axes her like in the back of the shoulder, right?
Okay.
And so when she pulls out the axe, obviously acid blood is going to go everywhere, right?
Rainbow acid blood.
Rainbow sparkly acid blood, okay? And I think what happens is that Ripley lets out like a, you know what I mean? Like an alien screech, right? And she kind of like turns around and stumbles forward to like try to, you know, move on Lori. I think what Lori is doing is she's kind of like swiping the axe, kind of being like, don't fuck with me, right?
Yeah.
And I think that what Ripley does is she is like kind of like lumbering towards her with this wound in her back. And I think that what she is ultimately trying to do is like trying to get as close to her as possible with the acid blood. You know what I mean? Because she knows that the acid blood will will ultimately like acid harm her. Blood her.
Yeah.
You know, what next?
I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't want this to necessarily like end things quickly, but
yeah,
I think it's one of two things. It's either Lori says fuck it, right, mm-hmm. and uses her incredible arms to huck this axe at the head of this lumbering alien lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. for going in for a kill shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's like she's being backed up into an area where she can't move, like up against some rocks or something like that, and the alien lunges. Like, I don't really see
I think those are ultimately the two outcomes. And can I be real honest with you?
Yeah, hit me.
This is our podcast.
Yeah.
We determine the future here.
We do.
And I think that you and I know a couple of things. Thing number one, we don't want Ripley to survive this.
I know.
Thing number two, a tier three fight between Lori and Sydney would go real hard.
And I think we should honor it. We've never zoomed out in this way.
Yeah. We're getting retrospective in season three.
Wow.
Well, because here's the thing. Something that I think we forget about all the time is that we are the gods of this universe. Like, we can make anything happen that we want to. It's our podcast. It's our world. This is our cinematic universe, you know?
We have been in control this whole time. And usually we just let our imaginations, like, drive us to where we are going.
Yeah.
But we now possess like the reins, similar to the way that Wes Craven possessed the reins in Scream to then.
We are Wes Craven.
Space. We're basically Wes Craven.
Hashtag that's so Craven.
And so I think Lori takes that
Lori
axe.
Wins.
She hucks it
into her fucking head.
Straight between the eyes.
And then a glorious pool of shiny, sparkly, acid rainbow blood emerges from Ripley. And in the background, we hear, ha, 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 ha.
Yes. And it's a gorgeous imagery that,
it
like,
beautiful.
Honors Ripley.
Yeah. And, like, she goes out, like, during Pride season. You know what I mean? Like, we honor our queer ancestors in this way.
And Lori still has her, like, cunty little short Jamie Lee Curtis haircut with her little, like, scratches of rainbow. But ultimately, she made it out of that fight fairly unscathed.
Yeah. And you know what that means, Jesse?
Tell me.
We have the final tier set in stone, and that is going to be Sydney Prescott from Scream 2 versus Laurie Strode from Halloween H2O Just Add Water, baby. Woo!
Our finalists. Oh, my God. Two absolute icons, two franchise girls that everyone has been wanting to see fight to the death. That's what we've all been asking for. And we're going to see it.
And it's here. And we're going to fucking give it to you guys.
Next week.
Oh my God. Okay, wow. I feel pregnant with the joy of podcasting.
I feel strong and I feel beautiful and I just feel like anything's possible. I'm blessed by the ghost of Wes Craven.
Yes. Thank you, Wes Craven.
Thank you, Wes.
Well, it's time for us to do what we got to do here at this podcast, and that is a chugga 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 choo choo.
What is that sound, Alyssa?
That is the sound of the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station. Thank you to our iconic folks who lend their voices to our intros. That is going to be one, Devin McNaughton, who voices our illicit warning at the beginning of the episode. And of course, to the Burly Girlies for giving us the jam bop horror for horror. That is, of course, the bop that you hear at the opening of the show.
Yes, it's a bop, it's a mood, it's a vibe. Thank you to Prince Jackson, our pod father, for being the guiding hand for the for our podcast, never steering
for
us
being
astray.
For being our own Wes Craven.
For
you
being
know what I mean?
Our Wes Craven. And for giving us the Goodnight Network, because this is a Goodnight podcast.
Period. And that's on period.
Let's get into some general gratitude. What do you got for me?
I want to first, okay, I obviously, Jesse, I got to thank you. And one of the reasons that I want to thank you is because we went into the episode with Ripley with a lot of strife. We were like, I don't know about this. You were pretty skeptical about the idea of incorporating Ripley 4. And I think ultimately what I'm thankful for is that at the end of the day, we were able to overcome our trials and tribulations and ultimately realize and recognize the power within ourselves to make whatever happen on our podcast that we deem wanting to happen. We didn't let the forces of chaos, you know, take us. We just said, you know, we are in control here. Yeah. And I appreciate you for taking control with me and being in the driver's seat with me.
Thank you so much for saying that. I feel the exact same way. Like, I literally feel like we are now masters of our own destiny in a way that we really, yeah, like, never have been in, yeah, previous episodes.
I feel like something has really opened up for us.
I know. I just appreciate the way that we've been able to grow together and create this thing together. And yeah, I appreciate your, like, the creative space that we create, the creative, yeah, space we create when we get into these, like, it, silly worlds of fighting and hot dog fingers and
hot dog fingers.
Anyway, I love you so much.
I love
much.
You so big. Okay. Okay, that's my number one general gratitude, as always, is Jesse. I also want to throw out I think I've shouted this out a couple of times maybe this season, but like, I just want to shout out a general gratitude to the horror community and sort of the come up that horror is having, like, and has been having for the past several years. I feel like I see a horror movie in the movie theaters like every other week now, and I feel so lucky that like we live in a universe where like you can get a pussy poppin' horror movie,
yes,
in your theater, in your local AMC, like on the regular. And the one last gratitude that I would like to give is to myself for being an AMC rewards list, A-list rewards member, because I do see 4 free movies a week, being an AMC Steps for Warmth member. But yeah, those are my gratitudes.
Wow, I hope that you're getting some kind of like residuals for mentioning
and
this.
Here's the thing, AMC, if I don't get the fucking residual check soon, I'm going to be riding the streets. But here's the thing, is that AMC could literally shoot me in the face and I would still subscribe. It's the best subscription service that someone can have. Okay.
No, I fully understand that. And I fully love it. Okay. My general gratitude is that I love you. And I'm grateful to my husband, who is out in the living room right now trying to be quiet playing video games.
Hi, Andrew.
So that we can record the pod. And yeah, I too am grateful for all the amazing horror movies that have been coming out recently. To Backrooms, Obsession, to name a few that have just been like completely fucking banger bop bangers. Like,
I'm literally going to go see Leviticus tonight.
Oh my God. I want to see this. Okay, I'm coming over. Just give me like,
okay, great.
Give me 4.5 hours to fly over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, fantastic. And then finally, I want to thank the listeners. Y'all, it has been a long time coming. Y'all have been so patient and so awesome. And to the three of you who have stuck in, hung in there.
To the three of you. And here's the thing, is that I'm not going to, did I just burp? Oh my God, sorry. I'm not going to name you because I know that some of you are kind of shy about this, but if given your consent, I will name drop you on this fucking podcast. I already name dropped David. Oops, sorry.
Oops, but sorry, like, David.
There are like at least three of you who have been ride or die for this podcast, despite us having a 3-year long break. And we see you and we appreciate you. And I wish you nothing but green lights and orgasms.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Get what you deserve, babe. Cool.
Okay, yeah, wait, it's my turn.
Yeah. Okay, no. So like now, okay, as we continue on into the finale, how can you hear about when the finale is, when it's coming out? What's happening?
Great
Where can
question,
we find it?
Great question. You can find us on the social media. And despite the information that I have given you in the past episodes for this season, aka episodes 1 through 4 and the overture, we're not gonna be on Twitter, but we will be on Instagram at Final Girl Standing Pod. I have made the executive decision that we are not going to be on Twitter, aka X, aka the graveyard of Twitter. Because I just don't want to have that app on my phone. Also, no one I know is on that app. So, like, I've decided we are not going to be on there. So, you can follow us on Instagram, at Final Girl Standing. I might maybe make us a TikTok. I don't know. We'll see. So, stay tuned for that. But if you go to our Instagram, at Final Girl Standing Pod, we'll have the bracket, we'll have the information, and we'll also be dropping, all the details for the season finale. And also, I just want to shout out that our season finale is going to feature an iconic guest that I will not name drop yet, but we're very excited to have her on our podcast.
I know. I can't wait to see her on the pod. Okay, so no spoilies yet, but So excited to work with her, and also so excited for the two baddies who are moving on to the finale. That's right, let's folks. Go. We got Sydney from Scream 2, and we have got Lori H2O, Just Add Water, and we're going to watch these Woo! Baddies battle down next week.
Period. And that's on period.
That's on period. But before we
now,
go.
Now, Jesse, yeah. What are we going to do, Jesse?
Well, we need to have a small ceremony, a small funeral.
Yes. A small moment of silence for our fallen final girls, which is going to be, as previously mentioned in this episode, rip in peace to Nancy, one, from A Nightmare on Elm Street, and rip in peace to Alien. No, her name's Ripley. And rest in peace to Ripley from Alien 4. And I want to send these final girls off. I know normally we do a moment of silence, and I would like to do a moment of silence.
Yeah.
But after that moment of silence, I would just like to take a quick moment to say a few words about these girls. So
do you want to say it before or after?
Yeah. Let's say it before. Let's say it before. Okay, so okay. I just want these women to know as they ascend into the final girl ether. Nancy, along with the ghost of Wes Craven and Ripley, into sort of the
yeah the, they get the absorbed into the bosom of Wes Craven.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to say that these are franchise girls who, you know, really built out what a final girl is. And, you know, normally when we do these moments of silence, I think that we, you know, put our hands over our hearts and feel for them. But I really want everyone to take a moment with us now, because Jesse and I do this, but I want you, the listener, to take it a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Imagine Ripley from Alien 4. Imagine Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street 1. And as we close our eyes in this moment of silence, I want you to watch them ascend higher and higher into the final girl ether. And moment of silence. In the arms of the angel.
Amen.
Fly away from here.
And you too can adopt these dogs.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.